ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 Text 9, chapter entitled Ideal Family Life. Text 9. Mrigostrakara Markaku Sarir Sprukhaga Maksika आत्मना पुत्रवात् पश्येत् तैर एसाम अंतरम कियत् मृगोस्त्र कर मार्काकु शरीर स्पृखग माक्षिका आत्मना पुत्रवात् पश्येत् तैर एसाम अंतरम कियत्। Mataji's, please. Mriga, dear. Ustra, camels. Kara, asses. Marka, monkeys. Aku, mice. Sarir sprip, snakes. Kaga, birds. Maksika, flies. Atmana, of one's self. Putravat, like the sons. Pasyet, one should see. Tai, with those sons. Esam, of these animals. Antaram, difference. Kiyat, how little. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. One should treat animals such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds and flies exactly like one's own son. How little difference there actually is between children and these innocent animals. Purport. One who is in Krishna consciousness understands that there is no difference between the animals and the innocent children in one's home. Even in ordinary life, it is our practical experience that a household dog or cat is regarded on the same level as one's children without any envy. Like children, the unintelligent animals are also sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore a Krishna conscious person even though a householder, should not discriminate between children and poor animals. Unfortunately, modern society has devised many means for killing animals in different forms of life. For example, in the agricultural fields, there may be many mice, flies, and other creatures that disturb production. And sometimes they are killed by pesticides. In this verse, however, such killing is forbidden. Every living entity should be nourished by the food given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Human society should not consider itself the only enjoyer of all properties of God. Rather, men should understand that all the other animals also have a claim to God's property. In this verse, even the snake is mentioned, indicating that a householder should not be envious even of a snake. If everyone is fully satisfied by eating food that is a gift from the Lord, why should there be envy between one living being and another? In modern days, people are very much inclined towards communistic ideas of society. But we do not think that there can be any better communistic idea than that which is explained in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in the communistic countries, the poor animals are killed without consideration, although they also should have the right to take their allotted food with which to live. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnana Timurandasi Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Ena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namane Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare. As I was reading this translation and purport, I was just realizing how in this verse, you know, the cows are not mentioned because there is no question in the Vedic culture about mistreating or killing a cow. So it's already understood. So they're talking about even entities like flies. And Narada Muni is saying we should even treat a fly like your own son. That actually takes a lot of spiritual advancement to see like that. But Krishna explains in the Gita that Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini Suni Shaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshana. That a saintly person, a pandita, a learned person, he is equal, he has an equal vision, he sees the spirit soul and the supreme soul within every living being. So he is equally compassionate. And throughout our books, There are so many examples of how a devotee, it's not only vegetarian, it's no question of a devotee desiring to eat meat, but on the other hand, they're so compassionate that they even want to liberate the living entity, even though they're in the lower forms of life. It's like Shruti Kirti Prabhu the other day was remembering in his Bhagavad Gita class how Prabhupada saw this worm, and Prabhupada told him he's very hungry. Prabhupada can see. So Prabhupada told him, go to my room and get this garland and place him in the worm in the garland, and that way he can eat something. So in many instances Prabhupada would tell the disciples to chant Hare Krishna to the poor living entities, even something like a slug or a snail or a worm, and it doesn't matter. So there are so many examples in our books of how Vaishnavas, not only vegetarians, but they're very high platform, so much so they want to deliver a living entity from the animal species, if you're powerful enough that the devotees send them back to Godhead, or at least like ordinary devotees like us, we desire they at least get a human form of life. But the problem is most world religion these days, they're like instruments of Maya, because they don't believe in reincarnation, and they don't believe that the animals have soul. This is a big time Maya. This is actually like these world religions are used as an instrument of Maya to keep everybody in ignorance and in the repeated birth and death. But in Krishna consciousness, we can see, it's so clear that, how we should deal with all species. I remember as a kid, I read this story how there was this powerful king and his son. He ran over a calf with his chariot, and there was this bell in this king's court where if you like need some justice, if you're mistreated, you go and ring this bell. So on this cow, the mother of this calf went and rang the bell, and the king actually punished his own son. So you're a little kid, but you're learning so much about, how, you have to be fair to all living entities, and they have feelings, and even if you're somebody like a big king, you still have to punish even if it's yours. And there's so much you can learn. But unfortunately, these things are not anymore taught to kids. All we're learning is like about Batman and Spider-Man and all kinds of crazy stuff where it doesn't develop any values in the kids. I was thinking about different pastimes of devotees where how they showed mercy to lower species of life. First thing came to mind is Sivananda Sen. Sivananda Sen was actually taking a party of devotees from Bengal to Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the way, a dog actually joined the Sankirtan party, and Sivananda Sen was so merciful that he actually paid extra money to the boatman so he will let the dog on the boat. Because in India, especially if it's a street dog, they don't want it coming close to you. And then Sivananda Sen actually told the cooks to make special rice prasad for the dog. And even though he took such nice care of the dog, in the evening, Sivananda Sen, when he came back from whatever he was doing, the dog disappeared. So he was actually very sorry, that a living entity came to me, but I didn't take care of him nicely. So he was in sad mood, he was in anxiety. So when the party actually reached Puri, To the surprise of Sivananda Sen, he saw that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually feeding this dog coconut pulp. The dog has reached Puri and Mahaprabhu was giving mercy. Because Sivananda Sen wanted to deliver this dog so much that Mahaprabhu actually sent him back to Godhead from this dog body. So, and Sivananda Sen actually gave obeisances, it says, to the dog just to, in case he mistreated him or he committed any offenses like that. And there's this example of Vasudev, this leper. This Vasudev, he had such advanced stages of leprosy that, you know, living worms, there were actually worms living in his body, was so advanced. And nobody would even go near him because, you know, he was ostracized and he was so much in pain and he was smelling bad and like this. But it's explained, he was such an advanced devotee that if a worm would fall from his body, would pick up the worm and place it exactly where it was. Because his mentality was that, you know, I'm a spirit soul, I'm living in this body, and this is a spirit soul, he's living in this body. Why do I think I'm better than him? I mean, we can't tell this to new people, freak them out, but even for devotees, it's inconceivable. Because as soon as you have some worms in your stomach, this Ayurvedic medicine you take to kill them and get rid of them so the body can assimilate all the nice things you're eating. But in an advanced stage that, you know, you're so non-envious, it says that so much so, he was so non-envious that Krishna was revealing to him himself so much that as soon as he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in town, this Vasudev leper can immediately understand that, oh, this is a Supreme Personality of Godhead visiting. Immediately had the revelation. And he just missed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's darshan, so he fainted in separation, in pain. And Mahaprabhu can see that, so he came back and embraced him. And his body turned into so beautiful. His nose was melted off because of this disease, but then it says that his nose again became like a sesame flower, so beautiful. His complexion was shining and it was... There's one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name called Vasudeva Amrita Prada. Means one who gave this nectar to this leper Vasudeva. And Prabhupada also gives this example of this king, Sibi. King Sibi was also very broad-minded and very compassionate, that one day, while he was in his court, one pigeon actually came and took shelter of him. This pigeon came and sat on his lap, and there was a hawk that was chasing this pigeon. And Sibi was actually trying to protect the pigeon, and the hawk said, you know, what is this? You're being nice to one person, you're not nice to me because this is my food. If you protect me, if you interrupt me from attacking him, that means you're interfering with my, you know, eating, I'm starving. So Sibi said, please spare him, I'll give you the same weight as the pigeon, I'll give you flesh from my body. So he put the pigeon on a weighing scale and he started slicing off his flesh. And mystically enough, it was never equal. And the pigeon was heavier the whole time. So Sibi was willing to give up his, you know, whole body. And then, you know, they were actually demigods, the pigeon and the hawk. They revealed to him and they congratulated him for his compassion. And Haridas Thakur is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the cave where Haridas Thakur, here Prabhupada is saying a householder should not be even envious of a snake. It's interesting how Prabhupada explains that meat eating is because of envy. Envy means you die and I will live. So Prabhupada is mentioning three times, he is equating this meat eating and envy here. So Haridas Thakur was living in this cave and the devotees would come to see him and the devotees couldn't stand it, that it was such an like obnoxious smell in the cave. And they realized there's this really venomous snake living in the cave. And the devotees were very worried. And they were requesting Haridas Thakur, you know, this snake here and this really bad smell, and we worried, you know. So Haridas Thakur said to the devotees, like, if it really bothers you, then I will leave, you know. But then it's explained that the Paramatma within the heart of the snake asked the snake to leave the cave so Haridas can continue with the bhajan. And in the example of Jadabharat, he was carrying the king on his shoulders, on the palanquin, but he was causing so much disturbance that the king could not enjoy his ride. It was so disturbing. It's almost like the king was feeling car sick, like palanquin sick. So the king asked, what's going on? Why can't this guy walk in a straight line? And then the king asked him and chastised him and said, what's going on? And Jadabharat explained to him, oh, actually, you know, there's so many ants on the way that I'm not able to walk, because I may kill them. And he imparted so much spiritual wisdom to the king that the king came from the palanquin and fell at the feet of Jadabharat. And in the story of Rantidev says he was doing a 48-day fast. Can you imagine? We can't even do half a day fast. Today is Harshita Prabhu's birthday. I was thinking doing half a day fast to celebrate, but even that is difficult. But 48-day fast, finally he was ready to take some prasad, and this Brahman comes and says, oh, you know, I wanna eat something, I'm really hungry. And there was a plate of prasad that was just enough for him, his wife and kids. So Rantidev actually offered a portion of the prasad to the Brahmana, and till the Brahmana was satisfied. And then the Brahmana left, and then he was again ready to take prasad, and then there was a Sudra came. And the Sudra was saying the same thing, oh, I'm starving, I'm hungry, you have any prasad? So Rantideva again gave a portion of that prasad, whatever was left. And the Sudra ate, and he was happy, and then there was a Chandala, there was a guy that showed up with like four dogs. So Rantidev gave all of his leftover prasad to this Chandala, and all he had was just a cup of water left, and this Chandala said, oh, actually my dog is really thirsty, can you give him some water? So I mean, Rantidev, which means death for him, he's so starving that he could die from this charity, but he was happy. It says that he actually prayed to Krishna for giving him such a glorious opportunity to serve, even if it means his death. He's a king and he's willing to give the last cup of water to the dog, which means he's going to die. It's such an amazing consciousness. So Vaishnavas, there's so many examples how Vaishnavas are so compassionate, like Raghunath Das Goswami, for example. He was having a cup of buttermilk every other day, just a little bit. Where is the question of him, you know, killing another living entity to satisfy his tongue or his, you know, to look good? It's no question. Even to have this buttermilk, he was thinking, oh my God, I'm wasting my precious time in sense gratification. I could be, you know, glorifying Krishna this time. So, this is a devotee. Prabhupada would often give this example of Mrigari the hunter. How a heinous hunter in the association of a pure devotee and chanting the names of Krishna, he became so purified that he will not even willing to kill an ant. We know the story how when Narada Muni came, you know, he didn't want to give obeisances because there were so many ants on the floor. So this purification is lacking in people's lives. It's like my niece, when she visited from Australia, she was she's a teenager and very naughty. So my sister said to me, "Oh, you know, you're giving so many classes and stuff. Why don't you preach to your niece?" So I said to my sister, "I just sent you a book." I sent my sister this book, Journey Home. So I said to her, "Why don't you give it to your daughter and encourage her to read?" And sure enough, my sister did that, and my niece changed a lot from this reading. So when she came here, the first thing she asked me as soon as she landed is like, "Is Radhanath Swami anywhere in America?" I was surprised. She doesn't know anything about ISKCON, and she had no interest, and all of a sudden she's asking. And funny enough that Krishna's mercy, Maharaj was actually in town. He was actually in New Dwaraka. And she said, "Oh, is there any chance I can meet with him?" I said, "Yeah, I can ask Maharaj." So I asked Maharaj and he said, "Yeah, bring her." So she was so nervous when we walked in the door because she couldn't believe that she's actually meeting with him in person. She was so nervous, she's like holding on to my hands and looking at me the whole time. And Maharaj gave her like a fruit and a garland, and you know, she became a little pacified. And Maharaj told her this thing, how he told her, "You're like ocean of good qualities. But let it come out through the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra." And he said, "Don't clog it by watching television." It's a very profound advice for all teenagers. Don't clog all the good qualities. Let it come out through chanting of the Maha Mantra. And she was so inspired by this exchange that Maharaj actually gave her a fruit, gave her an orange. That she was in America for a whole month, but she didn't eat it. She kept it because she wanted to take home and share with her parents. But the thing is, maybe Pawan will agree, if you get caught taking a fruit inside Australia, you can, it's fine up to like $10,000 or something like that. It's a severe offense. You're not supposed to bring any fruits. My sister called me and said, "This crazy girl brought one orange from America." But my niece was seeing so much value because it was given to her by Maharaj. So this knowledge is lacking in people. We may be this or that. We may claim to be like this or that. We may claim to be like Christian or Muslim. But we don't have any proper understanding of even the basic things of how animals are also part and parcel of Krishna, how they have souls. Then it's no meaning to what we believe. It's like one time this PhD student, she was interviewing Prabhupada. And she proudly asked, "Oh, how do you like, introducing Krishna philosophy in our culture?" And Prabhupada took the opportunity to get on her case. Prabhupada said, "What culture are you talking about? You killing and eating your mother, who's the cow, and you killing and eating your father, who's the bull. So what kind of culture is this that eats their own mother and father, you tell me?" And as we know in the conversations from Prabhupada, we heard that he wouldn't let go of a point. He would stick to the point. And this lady was almost like suffocating. She wanted to get out of this because it was so heavy for her coming from the mouth of Prabhupada. And she said, "Oh, Swamiji, maybe we can discuss some philosophy." Immediately Prabhupada said, "What's the use of philosophy? Philosophy without good character," Prabhupada said, "has very little or no value." So Prabhupada said, "We want to talk high philosophy, but look at lifestyle that you have. Look at your diet, look at, your beliefs. It's meaningless. So in this verse, it's saying how we should treat animals like our kids. But in Kali Yuga, things are so bad, even people are not even nice to their kids. What to speak of flies and mice and all these things. Because everybody pretty much that walks in the door of Krishna consciousness is around 18 or 20 and mostly traumatized and abused and freaked out, and it's like in hospital. It's unfortunate because the people that are supposed to protect us, they have no knowledge. They didn't even consciously want us in this world. They just, like John Lennon said, most kids are born over a bottle of whiskey on a Saturday night. So it's a very unfortunate situation. Recently we were in Texas. We went to this motel. Actually, it was a motel convention by the Best Western chain. It happened in San Antonio. And there were lots of motel owners. They had this convention where, like, people come and promote their products, like bed sheets and television and coffee and alcohol and bread and whatever they have in the hotel, they have them and display so the motel owners can choose and choose to buy their products. And we were there in that convention, and many of these owners, just because we were there, used to walk up to us and say, "What are you guys doing here?" And we immediately show them how, we are placing Bhagavad Gita's right next to the Bible in the motel room drawers. And we show them the testimonials of other motel owners that place the Gitas and how people, the customers like it. And we were getting orders. And one of the things, one of the excuses that they don't want this is they say, Bhagavad Gita is actually very sacred. And we don't want to place them in our rooms because people use them to put their coffee cup or beer bottle, or, they tear, pages from there and smoke marijuana. And they had their excuses why, So I was telling them how, the same thing was presented to Prabhupada, the same reason. And Prabhupada told us that this is Kali Yuga. People even throw their babies in the trash. So don't be surprised if they throw the Bhagavad Gita in the trash or misuse the Bhagavad Gita. But I was just telling them, you should not focus on few people that will abuse the book, but you should think about all the people that will read the book and become devotees. Krishna is called, Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He only sees all the good things you're doing, so don't worry. So take Bhagavad Gitas and put them in your rooms. So some were hesitating. There were a lot of people, but we managed to convince a few. But I was just thinking, how, because these people, they don't read the Bhagavad Gita, they don't have knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, they're not enthusiastic to accept Bhagavad Gita. There was actually this booth that was serving sample, like alcohol. They were promoting this alcohol so, the owners can buy and keep them in there for the customers. It's amazing to see how in the middle of the day, like older Gujarati women, sometimes with their son and their daughter-in-law, and this is a whole family come together and they start drinking. I told Vanina, "This is alcohol." He said, "It can be, He said, "This is some kind of juice." I said, "No way, this says margarita, this is alcohol." So he even went and asked and said, "Yeah, everything here is completely alcohol." And these older women, they can't even handle it, just one sip, you know, they had to sit down and they can't even move. And first thing in the morning, the kids and the family, the whole family, they go to this place where they're serving like fried chicken, and they all get a big plate and they're wandering around with like chicken and, you know, alcohol in their hand. They don't even wait till like evening to get drunk. This is like 10 a.m., 11 a.m. It's so unfortunate. There was actually a Christian girl. She was a black body woman. She came by and then, no meditation. Oh, Lord. She was like, she thought this is something like evil, what we're promoting. And then she went to the alcohol booth and, no beer. At least she had some values, you know. If it was a Christian woman, she believed that she shouldn't drink. So she was like, she was giving bad vibes to the guy selling. But because these people, you know, from the land, Krishna spent about 100 years in Gujarat. And because they don't open the books, they don't know what's inside, they don't give donations, they're not enthusiastic to welcome us, they're not enthusiastic to put the books in the room. It's so unfortunate. So we have to promote these teachings more and more. This is the only solution. Otherwise, in the name of religion, people are just so ignorant and so bodily concept and even becoming like terrorists. So the only hope is somebody receives a Bhagavad Gita or one of Srila Prabhupada's books. Immediately you're convinced that we shouldn't eat meat. That's like one of the easiest things as devotees for us. We immediately agree and give up and never do it again. I mean, only the most really fallen devotees. Prabhupada actually said, many devotees fall down, but the ones that go back to eating meat, they're the most fallen. So usually for devotees, for us, it's not a hard thing to give up. So we have to distribute these teachings. At least people will become vegetarians, which means a lot to this planet. Because the greenhouse effect is so much animal killing, and to grow the animals is so much food has been fed and all the waste, and it's like ruining the planet. It says, even people say, oh, I'm a vegetarian. Many of them will say, oh, I was actually vegetarian for 3 years or 5 years, but then I went back. We hear this all the time because they have no knowledge. And many of the vegetarians, they also have dogs. But the dogs are not vegetarians. Even my surprise, some devotees have cats and dogs and they feed them meat. And these dogs, they're not vegetarians. They eat like many pounds of meat every day. So we don't see it, but the whole world is involved in killing and feeding meat to others. It's hellish. So we have to give people association of Srila Prabhupada in form of these books, so they'll come to even basic understanding that, you know, we shouldn't eat meat. Like Archita Prabhu is so expert at presenting these points in colleges. When we go college preaching, he always drives home this point, you know, if I come to you and want to eat your dog or cat, will you allow me? Why do you think you can eat a cow? Some basic points, but it's very powerful. So thank you. Any questions or comments? Emily Mataji.
How would you
Yeah, there was actually an instance where Prabhupada was glorifying this devotee for being excellent preacher, and he's just taken sannyas and like this. And then when it came to this point of killing the pests in the temple, Prabhupada became so upset. Prabhupada said, this is the problem with you devotees. You don't know how much food you want. You accept so much in the plate, and you only want eat a little bit, and then you wrap them up, and then it's rotting somewhere for 6 months. So it's inviting all the bugs and the insects to come and eat. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada was just glorifying the sannyasi. Now Prabhupada turned around and started chastising him, you know. Because you're not clean, you know, therefore you're attracting all these insects and bugs. And you're not clean because your chanting is not good. Because Mahaprabhu said, Cheto Darpanam Arjano. If you're chanting properly, your heart will be clean. If your heart is clean, the temple room will be clean. Because of your mismanagement, there are insects. And so Prabhupada was heavy with him, saying, because we are not clean, you know, we are inviting all kinds of bugs and insects, and then we want to kill them by, you know. So there are different circumstances, different instructions Prabhupada gave. Like, for example, one time, there was one mosquito that was flying around, and the servant wanted to kill it. And Prabhupada said, no, no, you can't. And then immediately sat on Prabhupada to bite him. Prabhupada said, now you can kill him, because he's attacking. So if something is aggressor, something is attacking you, threatening your life, you're allowed to defend it. But overall mood we should have is try to avoid it as much as possible. We should be so conscious and compassionate. And if at all not possible, then you know, we have to do what's necessary because we're living in the city and stuff, but we should feel for it, and we should feel fallen if you don't feel for it. So again, it's time, place, circumstances. Yes, Sura Prabhu. I heard that before. Sura Prabhu is just saying, when Prabhupada asked if these pets, rats and things like that should be killed, and Prabhupada's response was, you should be killed. Meaning like you're responsible for, you know, inviting them with your... Yes, Prabhu. Can you speak in this mic? For the internet, many people are watching.
So, back in 1979, I lived in New Dwarka for about a couple of years. There was one devotee named Jagajivan, wonderful, wonderful brahmachari, Prabhupada disciple, and I was working with him in some capacity. One day, I hadn't been to his, he was staying across the street in one of the apartments. So one day we went to visit him, my wife and I, and I was amazed. We were talking about compassion. He said, let me show you something. So he, as we know in New Dwarka, there's sometimes a tendency for cockroaches. So he showed me this jar of cockroaches that he had been saving. He said, what I do is I take some sugar and I offer the sugar to the deities. And then I collect these cockroaches and I put them in the jar for a few days so they can take prasadam. And then I go out somewhere a couple blocks from here and put him on the street. And he was so genuine about this. And so he's actually realizing the purport of what you're speaking about.
That verse that Emily referred to is earlier in the seventh canto in relation to the killing of Hiranyakashipu. And it's a very special verse because Prabhupada mentioned it in relation to his own life. The verse said, Tadyasya Malim Asira Shahata Swayadya Maudeta Sadur Apibrishtika Sarpahatya. It's saying there that even the saintly persons are happy when the envious creatures like snakes and scorpions are killed. So Prabhupada told that story when he was young, devotee in Mayapur, and his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta, was up on the second floor, and all of a sudden he said to the brahmacharis, kill him! And Prabhupada looked around, there was a big cobra near to him, and Bhaktisiddhanta told the brahmacharis, kill him! So they killed the cobra. And the Prabhupada was wondering, he's a saintly person, why didn't he order this snake to be killed? And then later on when he read this verse, he understood. Because again, these are creatures that will attack you without any provocation. You go, like I go hiking in the mountains a lot here, quite a few rattlesnakes there. And if just by getting close to them, they'll bite you. You have no intention to harm them, but just because you come close, I've had several near encounters with them. You know, so creatures like that, it's okay to kill, like yourself, to protect yourself. Of course, when you're on the highest platform, you don't even worry about it, like Haridas Thakur. He was living with that huge, it wasn't a cobra. My understanding was that it was some kind of python or something, but it was a dangerous situation, but he wasn't concerned because he was totally absorbed in just chanting and not worried about his bodily situation. But we can't imitate that. You will get in trouble. There's a story in the news, I'll just finish with this, where two guys drunk, like you said, you know, these Indians, it's amazing that they're... But I mean, it's Kali Yuga, everybody drinks. So these two drunk guys, I think it was I forget which city, Chennai maybe, or one of these cities. There was a zoo with a tiger. And they got drunk and got into the tiger's enclosure. And the tiger's name was Shiva. They went right up to the tiger. Tiger just sat there and watched him approach. And then when they got close, he grabbed one of them. And so the other one, in his drunken stupor, he started beating the tiger. So the tiger let go of the first one and killed the second one. And the first one escaped. So we shouldn't be so foolish that, you know, out of idiocy, we approach dangerous creatures. We have to protect ourselves.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that at the end of the convention, we managed to get orders to place 8,000 Bhagavad Gita in the motel rooms. So we're going to be shipping them to the motels, and many of them gave donations, and many said they will give donations later when the books come, and some also didn't give. And we were just glad that they agreed to put the books. They started the service. So any of you want to sponsor some of the Bhagavad Gitas, you're welcome. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.